Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. Today I have the pleasure of being with Frank Bolton. He is the CEO, founder of the Long Island Ducks. And having the Ducks on Long Island has been a boon to many families. Tell me, Frank, what motivated you to do this?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Ernie. It's great to see you, as always. And well, I grew up here on Long Island, and, you know, as a young boy, I was an athlete and, you know, loved the game of baseball and went to work on Wall Street, but still lived here on Long Island. And I just felt that I'd seen minor league baseball in other parts of the country, actually got involved in ownership in other parts of the country. But I knew here at home they would love this product, and that there were 3 million people here on Long Island. And it's, you can say go to the beach, but you want to do other things. So I thought minor league baseball would fit into the family.
And your predictions of attendance, have they met your expectations?
Far exceeded anybody's, including mine, that we would be headed into our 16th year. We'd have over 6.5 million fans have come to the ballpark. First ballpark in America to reach, to go 10 years with actually at 101% of capacity. So 6,002 seats.
Yeah, but what I object to, Frank, is that the ridiculous prices that you charge to get in the gate.
Yeah, well, we price up against the movies, you know. So, you know, we've always tried to be affordable.
Of course, I'm being as facetious as I know how to be.
No, and I know that. That's part of our mission, you know, affordable family entertainment. That's really our mantra, you know. That's what we're all about. You know, we don't charge for parking. You know, I mean, you go anywhere now, you go to Yankee Stadium, it's $50 to park.
$50
to park. You know, I'm not so sure what the Mets are charging now, but it's, you know, it's north of $20-$30, you know, so it's expensive. So what you pay for parking, you can bring a family of four to see a Ducks game.
Now, one of the things that I was paying attention to lately was the cost of municipal owned ball fields and football fields and all of that. And what a cost it is to the taxpayer. Do you subscribe to the fact that it is too expensive for the community, or are you somehow making the bills?
Well, I think that's a very general statement you just made. So let's break it down a little bit. Are we going to talk about building a ballpark, you know, for the Jets or the Giants or a major league sport that's 60,000 seats or 45,000 seats? Or are we talking about a 6,000 seat ballpark? If we're talking about a 6,000,
which is what you're doing,
this is what we have had for the last 16 years. So you look at a return on equity. I mean, that's what a return on investment, which is what you really want your constituents or my fellow neighbors here on Suffolk County to look at and say, well, is this a good value proposition for the county? And we'll talk about ours. It was a $22.5 million project. $14.5 million came back to Long Island through the Empire State Development Corporation. They made an investment in this ballpark. Suffolk County put in $5 million and I put in $3.5 million. Suffolk County has on its books a $22.5 million asset that throws a positive cash flow. So this is really the model of how to do it, and one that actually worked for everybody that lives here.
Well, for openers, it's not all that expensive. In other words, some of these things are $500 million.
Or $1 billion, sure. You know, yeah, that's why it's apples and oranges. When you look at a minor league ballpark throughout America and you put them up against as a value proposition for a community to spend, you know, $15, $20, $25, $30 million on these minor league ballparks, and then you put it up against $500 million to $1 billion, you know, you really have to look at that and say, what's your return on investment? Well, some people will tell you there is none. Other people will say there's, you know, it's more about generating revenue through sales tax, through quality of life, and I think there's an argument to be made on both sides of that, and it just, you really have to take them as one-offs.
Yeah, in your case, you're not you know, you're not trying to make a fortune on the enterprise. You're trying to create value for the community, and that's a little different too.
Well, I'm a businessman, so I like to make money. You know, there's no question.
You like to make money.
You know, it's America, right? You're supposed to be able to make some money here. So I don't want to, you know, I'm involved in a lot of charitable organizations. I've worked with the Long Island YMCA and the Great South Bay YMCA. And, of course, we donated the Bolton Center for the Performing Arts, which is in Bayshore. So
do you still have an interest in that, or is that just like something you helped create and now leave it to a separate board?
Well, no, that's exactly right. I was the impetus when we started that. It was the Regent Theater in downtown Bayshore. I saw Old Yeller as a kid there, but it became a porno theater, and then it became a Shuttered.
You destroyed the neighborhood. You took away that porno movie.
And basically, I had worked with the YMCA. I was chairman of the Y, Great South Bay Y, for 12 years, and I felt that was a terrific organization. I feel like Ambridge's and the Long Island YMCA do an outstanding job, and it was best run in their hands. So, you know, again, it was a really a shining example of how public and private entities can come together for the betterment of the community. So I don't really, it just bears my name. Now, anything that bears your name, you try to keep it, you know, you kind of watch over it.
Well, do you have a board membership on
the Long Island YMCA's board, and then the board of directors of the Great South Bay YMCA, because they own the building.
Right. So
it's not a place where I make money.
You still have an influence.
I'd like to think I have a little bit of influence, but it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's really up to their board of directors of the Great South Bay YMCA, and I sit on the board of directors of the Long Island YMCA. So, you know, it's a great group. They do great things for the community of Long Island, and I'm proud to be with them.
I always thought the YMCA was a wonderful organization, although the most I ever did with YMCA was to be a busboy in one of their facilities when I was going to high school.
Is that right? And where was that?
That was in Queens.
Queens.
It was on Suffern Boulevard.
Yeah, now it's a different day at a different kind of Y. You know, it was probably residential.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, there's no residential Ys on Long Island.
Yeah. What was that song? YMCA?
Right, the Village People.
Village People.
Right.
It was actually talking about living in the YMCA.
Yeah, it's a little different. That was a different group of individuals. The YMCA's
different take.
Yeah, the YMCA's mission and maybe the song "The YMCA Village People" are not hand in hand.
Yeah, when I was there, when I was working there, I noticed that there was a lot of old people in the YMCA living as residents, and older people. Not
again. It was a different day for the YMCA. I think if you look at today's YMCA and how they service the communities here on Long Island, you know, it's mostly through a healthy mind and body used to be one of their slogans, and they do a terrific job. I live in the Bayshore Brightwaters community my entire life. And we're very, very proud of the Great South Bay YMCA and everything they do there.
Yeah, I used to be a member over in Huntington.
A great YMCA. Great YMCA.
And I would swim in the morning. And one of the guys that I would swim with was, you know, I'd always be telling him bawdy stories and cursing and everything. So one day, you know, and we never came in and went out at the same time. One day he's getting in his locker right next near my locker was, and he's putting on a priest outfit. And I said, "Well, I certainly have something to explain myself about." He says, "No, you don't. Forget it."
All right, you can just do that at your next confession. Say a couple extra Hail Marys. You're probably good.
Yeah, so what does the season look like, Frank?
Well, we're just about ready to get started. We put tickets on sale March 21st, which is a week from Saturday, and you know, we'll open up at home on Friday, May 1st. So we're really excited. We open up on the road this year in York, Pennsylvania, on April 24th, and we're all set for everybody to come out and enjoy another 70 home games a year at the ballpark.
You know, I think I remember there was a kind of a uniqueness about how you own season tickets there. People own season tickets. Do you sell more season tickets than you have seats?
No. We actually take the ballpark and if it were a pie chart, and we kind of divide it and say we're going to sell X amount in season tickets. We're going to sell X amount in 10-game plans. And we have groups. And then we have individual tickets that anyone can buy to any
game. Any day with there's a game.
Exactly right.
Now, how does that all work? So you might be sold out, right?
Well, we were sold out. We also sell standing room. Many of our fireworks shows, and we'll have 16 or 17 fireworks shows this year, get sold out. But what we do is we sell standing room. And after the third inning or so, if somebody hasn't shown up to sit, because 70 home games on a season ticket's a lot.
Yeah, you can let them sit.
You know, we're going to let them sit down. The ushers are instructed. So everybody usually gets a seat.
This sounds like family.
It's all about family.
Yeah, it really is, and it's always great to talk to people that have that same attitude. This is Ernie Fazio. I've been talking to Frank Bolton, the owner of the Ducks. This is Long Island News Radio, and this is Earnestly Speaking, but we'll be back. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening.